lovers, welcome to TSPN. And if you're a regular listener of ours and you're thinking that intro didn't sound normal, that's because I, Anna, am operating alone today. And usually Jessie does our intro and she just says it so naturally. She's been saying it for years on her TikTok. And here I am being a poser trying to say the Hey Lovers intro. And let me tell you, I did a few takes, so I hope that wasn't too bad. You may be wondering why Jessie is not with me today. She unfortunately is having an emergency situation with one of her pups. So she's got a couple dogs and this dog is 3 years old. Her name is Hazel. And you know how you have those pets sometimes where they just have a separate connection with you as an individual. Like you love your pets, obviously, like you're going to love every single animal that you own if you're not a crazy person. And sometimes you just have that one pet that you have a little bit extra connection with. And so Hazel is that for Jessie. And Hazel's only 3 years old and has been experiencing some issues that have sent her to the emergency vet this week. And so Jessie is not well. She's keeping up, but she's just not in a place to help record. And so please, please, please send her love, whether that's through our YouTube comments or you can find her on TikTok, Jessie Swift Talk, if you want to send her a private message. I know during these times, there is never going to be a shortage of love and care. So definitely feel free to reach out. Hazel is showing signs of good, like things are progressing. So definitely keep her in your thoughts and prayers and hopefully she'll make a full and speedy recovery. And this could just be something of the past. So I do want to say though, still recording today, I've got a ton of stuff to cover. So I'm still hoping to give you guys a vibrant and full episode of what's happened in the last week. And also this is just our commitment to you, right? Like if I've got a week where I can't record or if Jessie can't record, like we're still going to be committed to giving you guys weekly content. It was a little bit last minute for me to grab a co-host, but that's okay. We'll get through this. And I definitely, like I said, have a lot to discuss. So starting off, we'll talk about the iHeartRadio Music Awards, which happened on Monday of this past week. Beyonce released an album, so we're definitely going to touch on that. She released Cowboy Carter on the end of last Friday, so some reactions there and just some initial thoughts. We've got 2 weeks until Tortured Poets Department, so what's happening with the rollout of the album? What's not happening? What did we expect to already be happening? So some news there. And then, of course, the deal that Scooter Braun made with UMG. I'm going to cover that in full detail. So if you aren't aware, we are in the middle of our series, which is going through the sale of Taylor's masters. So Jessie and I started by talking about the difference between the players here. So you've got Scooter Braun and Scott Borchetta. And then we just did a 2 hour long special last week where we went through basically the timeline starting from the sale, and we got through to the end of 2020. And so our intent was to pick up today on that timeline. Of course, Jessie did the majority of that research, and I do not want to fake it till I make it and cut you guys short of any details. So when she gets back, so for next week's episode, we will continue on that timeline. It could not have happened at a better time that we are going through this Masters scandal. Because just this past week, we had news come out that Scooter Braun, who is the CEO of HYBE America, signed a deal with UMG. It's a distribution deal. And the headlines that I saw were a little bit misleading. Even I had read them wrong initially. And so many people have reached out. I've actually seen some creators on TikTok talk about it. And so I did a deep dive kind of going through what is music distribution? What do record labels do? Music production, distribution, all of that. And really kind of got into some research about HYBE, which is a huge, huge music company internationally. And how did Scooter get involved with them? And what does this mean for Taylor? The good news is, I'll say from here, I don't think it's really going to affect Taylor that much. But once we get to that part, I can kind of explain how the different deals work and why I don't really think that she would be impacted in any way. By Scooter signing this deal with UMG. Also, I do want to make a quick note. This is our 13th week of TSPN, so I'm so sad I don't have Jessie to celebrate with me, but if you could just celebrate as you're listening, whether you're in your car or watching from YouTube, this is an absolute huge week for us. Obviously, 13 is Taylor's favorite number, and she uses it a lot in her clues, and it's definitely lucky for her. And so I just want to thank you guys for being part of TSPN. For all of those who've listened from the beginning, or if this is your first episode, we are so grateful for the growth and the consistency, and just everything that we have gotten out of this experience thus far has been unbelievable. And so grateful for you guys. And of course, I didn't want to like forget to acknowledge it. We've done several weeks where we've gotten two episodes out. So we are past our 13th episode, but this would be our 13th Friday where we are releasing content for you. So again, thank you for being here, and we just appreciate the hell out of you. So on to our first topic, we're going to talk about the iHeartRadio Music Awards. And every time I say we, I just want you to know I'm talking about me and you as the listener, since Jesse isn't here. So we, me and you, are going to talk about the iHeartRadio Music Awards. And Taylor did not attend. I'm personally not that surprised by that. I don't think they did any real like hyping of it like they would have if she was going to attend. And you know, Taylor Nation might have posted a thing here or there, but for the most part, there wasn't a lot of rumors that she was going to be there. Nobody came out and said she wouldn't. But usually when she does show up to stuff, Taylor Nation's pretty good about making sure that we are very aware and that everyone is watching. And I've also seen some conversations online about why she didn't attend. There's been a lot of discussions about whether or not she's kind of overexposed right now and is really aware of that and just trying to pull back and not overdo it in the media ahead of this album release. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I kind of agree. I get it. I also could just see her being tired. You know, she is off from her tour and she has not been missing the media opportunities and the award shows thus far this year, on top of being part of the largest world tour of all time. I just question if she had to phone one in. And there were several artists that were not there. There were several acceptance speeches that were virtual. So iHeartRadio just may be one of those ones where they don't always attend. Although Taylor has attended this in the past, and she has always said really great things about iHeartRadio. I know that they, as an organization, have been very supportive of her re-record process, ensuring that whenever she does drop a Taylor's version of an older album, that their stations are playing the newer version, the Taylor-owned version versus the original. So that's a great way that they have shown that they do support her through this project. Another reason that Taylor might not have attended is because it's Beyoncé's week, right? So Beyoncé released Cowboy Carter on Friday, and so this award show happened on Monday. And of course, all of the discussion online, all the big music fans, everyone is just loving on Beyoncé right now. And so even if Taylor wouldn't have outshined Beyoncé in this moment, I could absolutely see how that would be the narrative. There would be a lot of people who are making videos or writing articles who are now going to be focused on what Taylor's doing. What clue is this? Is she releasing something sooner? You know, whatever would come out of her arrival there could have just taken away from media coverage for Beyoncé. And not only would she not want to do that as a whole, she definitely doesn't want the perception of doing that, just because those two women have been very supportive of each other over the past year, probably more than that, but specifically talking about showing up to each other's movie premieres and just really taking extra care to make sure that people know that they are not competing. So we do not need to compare them. And I will talk a little bit about the Beyoncé album later in this episode, but just knowing the timing of this award show with the release of Cowboy Carter, I could absolutely see where that was another reason that Taylor may have decided, hey, I'm going to sit this one out this time. And while she wasn't in attendance, Taylor did take home some awards. So she won 6 iHeartRadio Music Awards, which include Favorite Tour Style, TikTok Bop, Cruel Summer. I didn't even realize that was going to be a category. Best Lyrics for Is It Over Now? Tour of the Year. Well, obviously. I don't know. Renaissance Tour was, so yeah, there's some competition there, but the Eras Tour is just going to be the tour of the decade at this point. She also won for Pop Artist of the Year, and then she did take home the award for Artist of the Year. And this I did want to take a moment to talk about. So if you are a child of maybe the late 80s, early 90s, if you were just a teen when Backstreet Boys and NSYNC were everything, This was an award show to see because the artist of the year was actually announced by AJ from Backstreet Boys and Lance from NSYNC. And to see the two come together is just so fun. I think that both of those groups have done such a great job, especially in the TikTok era and the way in which we consume social media and absorb celebrity content. The fact that those two boy bands that were rivals, you know, back in the late 90s, early 2000s are clearly collaborating on stuff. They do TikToks together. They are clearly friends. And it was just kind of fun to see them out there. And the way that Lance and AJ spoke about Taylor, self-proclaimed as Swifties and presented her with the Artist of the Year award, which is I don't know. It's just fun. I think that's one of those things where if you don't really care about them, maybe it doesn't matter. But if you do, definitely look it up on YouTube if you did not see the show live to see beyond what she said, just that little intro of them announcing that. It wasn't like a normal award show acceptance where they read off the nominations and then, you know, selected the artist that won. They came out and just started talking about Taylor. And they did a whole intro leading up to her acceptance speech, which of course was pre-recorded and played for us on video. And anytime Taylor gets on video, we're all going to be looking for Easter eggs, trying to figure out any hidden clues. And for the most part, I don't think there was anything obvious that came out of that. And so definitely check it out as your little Easter egg homework if you are wanting to find clues. But I just couldn't. There's something that really stood out to me. She did say, this is a quote at the end, "I can't wait to keep having fun with you guys because we've got a lot of exciting things coming up." And so I want to talk about that here in a bit. We're going to talk about what is coming up with Tortured Poets Department and honestly, the lack of rollout that we would usually have at this point. So we'll get to that. But one other thing she said, which just I'm going to throw this out in the universe. You guys are going to be like, you're delusional and you're crazy. And I'm going to say, I know I'm crazy. But she did say to the fans, it's completely up to you to choose how you spend your time, what concerts you want to go to, what music you want to make the soundtrack of your life. And to anyone who includes me in those choices, I'm so, so, so thankful for that. And the line, the soundtrack of your life, is something that I have said at least 3 times here on the podcast. It's actually in our intro. We have a little 2-minute intro that plays on like Apple Music and Spotify and all the podcast networks. And I actually worded it in the intro, the soundtrack of our core memories. So maybe that's just a common term. And I would like, I internalized it and I was like, that's not about us. That's not about us. That's not about you, Anna. You're not that fucking cool. And of course, then Jessie texted. She's like, did you see that she said soundtrack of your life? I was like, damn it. Yes, I did. I did. I did. And so Taylor, if you watch this fucking podcast, we're going to need clearer signs than that. I'm going to need you to say soundtrack of your core memories, a little bit more of a direct quote. Okay. But we'll just throw that one out there. Jessie has obviously had her TikTok liked by Taylor before. And there was actually something during the Argyle debacle. So if you followed Jessie and went down the rabbit hole with the book and movie Argyle that came out at the beginning of 2024, she had a mega viral video, which turned into many, many viral videos, like a whole series, many publications, including Vanity Fair, I think Vogue, like, I mean, just big, big publications picked up her story, credited her, luckily. And, you know, this whole idea that Taylor Swift was somehow involved in the movie production or the book Argyle just completely blew up. And so through that, there was a moment where Taylor was out doing a pap walk and she was wearing this like Gucci brown with like an Argyle yellow shirt. It was kind of like a blouse. It was the day that she was actually seen at Long Pond Studios recording something because Aaron Dessner also posted a picture of her that day. And she was given the peace sign, like the 2s from the booth that she was recording from. So that blouse was very Argyle-ish, right? Like it had the same kind of pattern, but it also had the Gucci G's in it. So it was like a little bit of an expensive Argyle. And she was wearing loafer set, like her shoes were called the Jessie loafers. And Jessie was like, am I high? Like, is this happening? Is this about me? And she actually bought the loafers, fun fact. So if you ever see Jessie out with some really fancy shoes, those are probably the Jessie loafers. And we know that Taylor does leave Easter eggs in her clothes. That is the number one thing she said back during the Lover era. She did a whole video with Entertainment Weekly where she talked about the use of Easter eggs in her work and how she likes to leave clues. And she started, she like listed off all the ways that she drops hints and leaves eggs. And she said, in my clothing. And in that video, she was actually wearing an Argyle sweater. So again, coming back to the Argyle theory, it was like, okay, she's talking about Easter eggs being in her clothes. She's wearing an Argyle sweater. There was so much about that movie that was so Taylor-coded. And then she wore the Argyle blouse with the Jessie loafers when Jessie started that whole rumor, and really the media spiral started with Jessie's initial video. So I say all that sidebar to say maybe Taylor does know, maybe she does, but I also am more than willing to admit that that's delusional. And we are more than happy if she never listens to an episode of TSPN, because it's not for Taylor, it's for you guys. So let's talk a little bit about the Tortured Poets Department. So the album is coming out 2 weeks from the release of this episode. So this episode's releasing on April 5th, and we expect the Tortured Poets Department on April 19th. And I say we expect, that is literally the release date. I don't know why I said it like that. And it is just 2 weeks away. So let's talk about Fortnite, which is the very first song title on the Tortured Poets Department. It is with Post Malone being featured. And a fortnight is 2 weeks. It's 14 nights, I think, is like the old English version of it. But it essentially represents 14 days, 14 nights, 2 weeks. So hopefully by the time you're listening to this on Friday, April 5th, something has happened, because it's been a little bit of a weird rollout. Like, she's been very quiet, not to say that every album has always rolled out with like a ton of stuff leading into it. But I mean, obviously Folklore and Evermore were more of a like last minute surprise drop. But typically whenever Taylor is releasing an album, she is going to do some type of promotion leading up to it, some type of noise. And a lot of people hear that during Reputation, the term "there will be no explanation, there will only be Reputation" means that there is a surprise drop, but that is actually not true. Reputation had a very long media run, just like any other album. We even got music videos. We got "Look What She Made Me Do," the music video ahead of it. We got two singles. So we got "Look What She Made Me Do," and then I definitely know that "Ready For It" came out before the album. And there may have been another one, honestly. There was a lot that was happening ahead of Reputation. And I get that Taylor is completely in a different realm today than she was years ago like that. And she may not need to do the promotions. She may not need to. Actually, let's be real. She doesn't need to. But that doesn't mean she wouldn't, right? Because during the Midnights rollout, we never really got a single or a music video ahead of the album release. It was a very interesting one where we didn't know what the sound was going to be or what the vibe was, which, again, she's probably going to do for Tortured Poets, which I love. Like, I kind of love the idea and the anticipation of getting that whole album dropped at once, turning on the first track and just hearing what the beat's going to be. So I'm okay if she doesn't do like a single or a music video. But during Midnights, she did the Midnights Mayhem With Me rollout, where she basically released a video, and it was kind of sporadic, but it was on TikTok and on Instagram. And basically she had this like lottery ball cage. It was very like throwback. And the lottery ball cage had 13 balls in it, one that represented each track. And so she would just roll it, and then a ball would come out, like as if you were playing bingo, and she would grab it. And then whatever number was on the ball was the track number that she would reveal. And that was so fun, you know? And I know that with Tortured Poets, we already know the whole track list, right? That's been released. Likely it may have been leaked, which is why we got it so early. And she just went ahead and announced it. That has happened in the past where once a back cover gets released, she just goes ahead and drops it. I believe Speak Now Taylor's version was the same, where we didn't get like a vault or a game or something to really kind of play along. And so with Tortured Poets, that may be why we haven't gotten something fun like that, because we got the track list so early on. But we also haven't gotten merch. I mean, I guess I shouldn't say that because we did get the four different variants. So that's fun. The four rollout of the bonus tracks, which happened while she was on tour, typically on like the Friday or Saturday night of each of the shows leading back into the tour, she was announcing the new variant. And then that always gave us like a little bit of a homework assignment because we would have like a whole week to research what the hell an albatross is or what is the meaning behind the black dog and all of that. So it's been a fun kind of lead up in that way, but it's just interesting that there hasn't been a merch drop or really much marketing at all, much excitement. And so it was nice during the iHeartRadio Music Awards when she gave her speech for the Artist of the Year, where she did say she has lots of surprises for us coming up. So Taylor, we are 2 weeks away. Where's our surprises? So hopefully, like I said, by the time you're listening to this, it's Friday, April 5th. There's something, some signs of stuff. And of course, she's been doing a lot of twos lately. So potentially 2 days before, I mean, 2 weeks before this Friday. But there may be something kind of tied to that. And then, of course, on Monday, April 8th, we have the solar eclipse. And if you don't know, Taylor has had plenty of eclipse references in her lyrics, in her music videos. Some have said that in the I Can See You music video, which came out in June of 2023, it was a vault track for the Speak Now Taylor's version. The vault itself in that music video shows an eclipse where you've got the light and then you've got the circle and then the beam that kind of appears around the circle looks like an eclipse. In the Man music video, there's a light sconce on the wall that kind of creates an eclipse look. There's plenty of lyrics. Good God, so many lyrics. Like, I'll stare directly at the sun, but never in the mirror. When would you stare at the sun? A solar eclipse. There's also the one, it's like my eclipse sun, my only one, my eclipse sun. Hold on one sec. Stood on the cliffside screaming, give me a reason. Is that, this is me trying, my faithless. Oh, it's Hoax. It's Hoax. Yeah, in Hoax, there is the, hold on. I miss having Jessie here. She'll usually sing along with me. My only one, my smoking gun, my eclipsed sun. This has broken me down. So that is the third line in that song. And I know there's tons more. So if you guys can think of any more, definitely do. Taylor also said that her favorite line from any song is, I had dreams they were clouds in my coffee by Carly Simon. She said that in 2016 during an interview with Vogue called 73 Questions with Taylor Swift. If you want to look that up, that one's kind of one I always go back to just because there's so many nuggets in it. And Carly Simon in that song, which is You're So Vain, where she sings, I had dreams they were clouds in my coffee. She also sings about a total eclipse. Then you flew your Learjet up to Nova Scotia to see the total eclipse of the sun. Guys, it's so weird to not be with Jessie, to just be singing here in my podcast room. Yeah, so total eclipse of the sun on You're So Vain. Carly Simon is one, you guys got to watch this, okay? Because Carly Simon said, I had some dreams, they were clouds in my coffee. The Karma music video at the very end, it kind of scans up to the clouds from her and Ice Spice being in whatever Lulu dreamland they're in. So then the clouds turn into that coffee cup, which is basically a clock, right? And then people have always referenced that because she's got the blue thumb on the 8 and the black thumb on the 2, blue representing 1989 and then black essentially representing reputation. And so that concept of clouds in my coffee, that's what that is, right? You order a latte and you've got that like foam. Those are the clouds in the coffee. And Carly Simon herself on her official TikTok page posted that clip from the Karma music video and then put it with her singing You're So Vain. Like it was like a, it like cut over to her. And then there was another one, like another TikTok that she posted that referenced the Karma music video. So clearly she knows that Taylor's tied with that song. They performed together in like the Red era. So like definitely a mentor likely of Taylor. Carly Simon is one who never told people who her songs were about. So like nobody really knows who Yuri Sylvain's about. There's rumors that it was about Mick Jagger, but she was always very hush and wouldn't tell people who songs were about. And I think that Taylor really has adopted that. She's always kind of had that early on with some of her songs, like Teardrops on My Guitar with Drew. Like, she did openly talk about those relationships and who those people were. But as her career kind of progressed and she got into her second and third album, she started to be a little bit more lip sealed about who her songs were about, which I think is marketing genius because it keeps us talking. It keeps us guessing. Some of it may seem obvious, but it's not necessarily confirmed. And so she probably got that from Carly Simon. And if she didn't, Carly definitely confirmed, girl, that's the way to go because it keeps the mystery alive. And so Carly obviously spoke about a solar eclipse in one of the songs that Taylor said has her favorite line of all time in it. The solar eclipse is on Monday, April 8th, guys. Something might happen. I will say, though, there's a total eclipse, which is where the sun is completely covered by the moon. And then you have what's called an annular eclipse, where the sun and the moon do overlap, but the moon is just a little bit closer to Earth. And so it doesn't cover the whole sun from that perspective. And so you get like a little ring of light around the moon itself. And that is probably more closely tied to some of the visuals that we've gotten in Taylor's music videos, because they're not actually total eclipses because you can still see that ring of light. And so their annular eclipses, I think, happen a little bit more often, but are still very, very rare. And I do want to say, I'm talking about the United States of America. I know we've got over a quarter of our audience is not based here in the US. So if you didn't know, there is a solar eclipse, a total eclipse that will be going across the entire United States. And the United States of America is huge. It is huge. We have obviously 50 states, and some of them are just as big as little countries in other continents. So the fact that it goes all the way from the southwest to the northeast of the United States is very, very rare. I know that there are solar eclipses that happen, I think, every 1 to 2 years worldwide. It's very rare for us to have one that is that across where people live. And so it's going to be a very, very big event here in the United States. So if you are an egg hunter and you like to follow Easter eggs and clues by Taylor, just keep it in mind. Keep it in mind. I don't really have like 2 + 2 = 4 in this scenario. We haven't really added up enough to have a true prediction or theory, but just knowing the themes that she's had in her lyrics, the Carly Simon reference, the visuals in her music videos, this eclipse definitely means something, whether or not we get anything out of it. And then beyond that, there really hasn't been too much as far as rollout of the album goes. SiriusXM, which is a satellite radio network here, is going to do a Channel 13 Taylor Swift only channel leading up into the album. So if you are a member of SiriusXM, you do pay for that service. That's definitely a fun one to probably tune into. I don't really count that as like official Taylor album rollout. I'm sure they'll just play her existing catalog and just try and get some excitement around Taylor in the weeks leading up to the Tortured Poets Department's release. And I guess the jury's really out if there would be something special, like maybe the days ahead of it, they may have exclusive content. So just kind of keep your ears perked if that does come up. I don't think I would engage in a SiriusXM contract just to get that. I don't know. I just don't expect it to be very much, to be honest, but we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. All right, let's transition and talk about Cowboy Carter, which is the album that was released by Beyoncé this past week. And I know that this is a Taylor Swift podcast and not everyone on here is in the Beehive. I wouldn't even say I'm in the Beehive. I definitely am a fan of Beyoncé and have kept up with a lot of her work over the years. But I do want to just acknowledge, because this album is fantastic. It's been the talk of TikTok and the internet over the last week. And I just want to acknowledge that this probably will win Album of the Year. And we have not even heard Tortured Poets yet. And I'd be willing to put money on that. If it doesn't, I would be really surprised. I mean, even if Tortured Poets like blows it out of the water, this album by Beyoncé has a lot more than just songwriting and, good production. It has a lot of meaning, and And Beyoncé has been up for Album of the Year in the past and has yet to win. She is the most awarded Grammy artist of all time. So definitely has earned her stripes in all of those ways. So the Album of the Year is the most coveted and sought after award at the Grammys. It's always the last to be announced. That's kind of how you know. But every artist is going to try and achieve getting Album of the Year. It's the entire production, songwriting, the storytelling. And so Taylor has spoken about her desire to make sonically cohesive albums and to really, you know, preserve that album experience. And there have been several other artists that do that, that aren't just dropping singles, or maybe you like a lot of the music and then you listen to the album front to back and it's just a little bit of a mixed bag of Skittles. You know, Taylor tries not to do that. She's made very, very good albums start to back. So you've got Fearless, which won, that was her second studio album. 1989 won, which was her fifth album. She won for Folklore, which was her eighth album. And then she just won for Midnights, which was her 10th album. And so if you listen to something like a 1989, that's one where she really spoke about it being sonically cohesive. And, you know, you really listen through and there's definitely threads that tie the whole experience together. And so that's really a good example of one that truly is like an album packaged together versus just really good singles. She has said this about Red, whenever she released 1989. She did this Grammys speech at the Grammy Hall, like where she played the different songs for an audience. And she spoke a little bit about what led her to making 1989. And during that, she did admit and speak to how she had different producers on the Red album and how it was kind of a mixed bag and it wasn't a cohesive album. So I say all that to say Beyoncé also creates albums, right? She doesn't just create singles. She is very, very much somebody who's going to create albums that give you a full experience. And so she has been nominated for Album of the Year 4 times. So the first one that she was nominated for was I Am Sasha Fierce, which was in 2010. And she was actually nominated against Taylor, and Taylor won that one for Fearless. So that would be the only time the two have been head to head for Album of the Year, luckily, because we don't want the two queens fighting. But she's also been nominated a couple other times. So she had her self-titled album Beyoncé, which was nominated in 2015. And fun fact, her self-titled album was not her debut. So like Taylor and a lot of artists, that's typical. But Beyoncé released her self-titled album kind of midway through, which is fun. And then she actually lost out to Beck's Morning Phase for that one. Lemonade was nominated. That was Beyoncé's third nomination for Album of the Year. That was in 2017. That's a great piece of work. Lemonade lost out to Adele, her album 25. And then just recently, Renaissance, which was Beyoncé's latest album prior to the one she just dropped, Cowboy Carter. And Renaissance was nominated for Album of the Year in the 2023 Grammys, so like last year. And then, of course, Harry Styles' Harry's House won that one. So beat out Beyoncé again. Beyoncé deserves an Album of the Year award. She's done really, really great albums. And I will say, if you haven't listened to Cowboy Carter yet, I got some advice for you. So as a Swiftie, you may be similar to me. I have issues with ADHD, but not all Swifties have ADHD. I don't mean it like that, but I have issues with ADHD and like sound overstimulation, right? So I have a tendency where whenever I am like in my kitchen and maybe the dishwasher's running and my husband has like sports on or something that's like very mundane, but making background noise, and then he's playing a video on his camera, and then the dog is like scratching at the door, and all of a sudden I just like lose my shit. I'm like, oh my God, there's too much noise, right? Like it legitimately like just twists something in my mind. Like it's not like I have no patience or that, you know, it's too loud. It's like the different noises all happening at once is really hard for me as a person. And I'm somebody who like won't listen to music while I'm working, or I won't listen to a podcast while I'm doing something that I actually have to be thinking about, right? Because my brain won't be able to do both at once. And I think that's why I've been really drawn to Taylor's music over the years. And that's why I say a lot of Swifties may have the same kind of thought or issue, because Taylor has a tendency to lead with lyric and storytelling first. She does have a lot of music that is really produced. It has lots of layers and instruments and different things going on. But at the core of most of her music is lyrical storytelling. And her vocal is typically very strong, like as far as what you're actually drawn to when you're listening to the music, right? And so on our last episode, Jesse and I were actually talking about track ones. We were joking that maybe we'll do like a track one draft or something. And Jesse brought up Welcome to New York is like the best track one. And I was like, what? Like, I don't know about Welcome to New York. And that's why, right? Like, so when I say that I get overwhelmed, like Welcome to New York is a good example of a song that's just got a lot going on. And when you strip back the production, the lyrics really are just very simple, right? It's not telling you a true story. It's not painting a story like Taylor can paint. And so I think whenever I listen to other artists, I have to be mindful of that. There are plenty of artists that I listen to that are very lyric driven, lyric first, storytelling first, that have a softer production that I really enjoy. But when I listen to music that has stronger production, it just has to be a time and a vibe. And one thing I will say about Cowboy Carter is that it has so much production that I would not recommend, if you are somebody who gets a little overstimulated, I would not recommend listening to it on your phone or on like small headphones. So like AirPods or like a little earbud headphone, because it's compressing it a little bit too much. And I was just a little triggered when I was first listening, and it was hard for me to like vibe to it. And so I turned it on in my car whenever I was driving that day or whatever. And oh my God, totally different experience, right? Because the surround sound of the car, the way that the instruments can kind of layer, is going to be a lot different when you actually have real speakers. I also have a nice speaker set with my vinyl player downstairs. You guys don't know my house, so I'm upstairs right now, but I do have a nice set of speakers with my vinyl player. And so I did Bluetooth to those and listened to some of the album as well. And so just kind of food for thought. If you're somebody who's like, yeah, I love Beyonce, I love produced music, then like, don't take that advice. You're fine. But if you're somebody who really leans into Taylor for the same reasons that I do, and you struggle to really bond with music that has a lot of production, that would be my recommendation. And you just have to like really listen and absorb and feel it versus trying to like be like, what's the meaning of this song? What do these lyrics mean? And there's plenty of meaning behind her lyrics. Like it's not like there's not enough there. I just think sometimes if you go that route, then all of a sudden you're kind of lost and you're not actually absorbing and enjoying the production of it all, because it starts with the song American Requiem, which is, it's crazy. It is so cinematic almost. Like, it changes within itself and gives you kind of, I hate to say like Bohemian Rhapsody-ish. I'm saying that out of like not knowing enough other good references, but just very much an experience. And that's how it starts, right? I mean, the whole album is fantastic. The other thing you'll notice with this album, so something that Beyonce has done that Taylor doesn't really do, but a lot of artists do, is have kind of little interludes, I would say, between songs. So like this album kind of switches up on you several times, but like in a way that is intentional, and to give you kind of different experiences. It's not really country in that it is a lot of genres, including country. There's country, right? But it's not only a country album. And that was by design, right? That is part of the beauty of it. But as it kind of interludes, she includes people like a Willie Nelson interlude. There's one that has Dolly Parton. And then, of course, she covers Jolene and a lot more of like a fuck off, don't take my man kind of way versus please, like, don't take my man. She's not asking. She's telling you. And those interludes really stand out to me because, coming back to Carly Simon, there is an interlude exchange and a duet that Janet Jackson did on the All For You album, which is relevant because Taylor's saying, I'm all for you like Janet in Snow on the Beach, which is track 4 of Midnights. And the All For You album, it's a song, All For You, which you've probably heard. It was a hit. And there's a whole album called All For You. And Janet Jackson actually sings a duet that includes the You're So Vain by Carly Simon, right? So there's an interlude before the song, and the interlude also has Carly Simon in it. And then you get into the song, and it's called Son of a Gun, and it is very vindictive. It kind of gives me like vigilante shit vibes. And if you're like an Easter egg hunter or a big, you know, theory person, I highly recommend going and watching the music video for Son of a Gun. It's the music video that features Missy Elliott. And you'll notice that the hotel that that is filmed in is the same one that Taylor filmed Delicate, which is from the Reputation era. Those are the same hotel. So just, again, it's kind of weird. It's like Janet Jackson is tied to Snow on the Beach because she said, I'm all for you like Janet. The All For You Like Janet album has an interlude and a full song that includes Carly Simon and samples from You're So Vain, which has a lyric on it that Taylor has said is her favorite lyric of all time. So there's definitely some ties there, and I'm not sure exactly where it leads. I was kind of hoping for more in the like winter and fall to kind of come to fruition. I just really thought like with a double 1989 album, or if Taylor was going to release something that was a little bit more rock, like would she have brought Carly Simon into it? So anyway, park all of those thoughts because we're still talking a little bit more about Beyonce. But when Beyonce used the interlude with Dolly Parton and then ended up having Jolene as the next song, like it brought me back there. I'm like, that's such a great thing. And by no means does that relate to Taylor whatsoever. Beyonce did not do that for any reason other than to create the art that she wanted to create. But when you're listening to this album, definitely make sure to listen in order if you haven't yet, because that's part of the experience. It's listening to each song, hearing the interludes, then it follows into whatever the next song is. And sometimes those interludes are designed to really shift up the energy or change up the vibe. And so don't just grab ones that you've heard people say, like listen start to finish if you can. So shifting into another topic, there were rumors this week that Taylor was on Bodyguard, which is a song on Cowboy Carter. It kind of does sound like her in the very beginning. There's just like one or two background vocals where you can kind of, you know, recognize that that might be Taylor's voice. But as of right now, it has been pretty much confirmed that she's not on there. There's been several sources that have come out and say that they can confirm that Taylor's not on that track. So unless something changes, I think we can pretty much close that door and assume that that no longer is going to be happening. I would have been really surprised if Taylor was on it. I mean, I would have loved it, but maybe one day we'll get the two queens on a song together. All right, let's discuss the headlines this week surrounding something we've just been talking about, which is Scooter Braun and UMG. So we've been doing a deep dive series into the sale of Taylor Swift's masters, her original six albums, which were sold in 2019 to Scooter Braun. They were part of the sale of Big Machine Records, which was her original recording label, which was sold to Scooter and Ithaca Holdings, which is Scooter's company, which we'll talk about here in a second. And then, of course, it was funded by private equity, the Carlyle Group. There's plenty of things that Jesse went way into as far as the details of that goes. But knowing that Taylor's music was sold to Scooter, and then he sold her music catalog again to Shamrock Holdings in 2020. So Taylor is currently signed with Universal Music Group. That is who she signed with back in 2018 when she left Big Machine Records. So this would have been between the Reputation and the Lover albums is when she switched her record label company. So in November of 2018, Taylor posted to her Instagram, "I'm ecstatic to announce that my musical home will be Republic Records and Universal Music Group. Over the years, Sir Lucian Grange and Monty Lippman have been such incredible partners. It's so thrilling to me that they and the UMG team will be my label and my family moving forward." There's more to it, but I'm just going to stop there because I think it's important to note UMG is Universal Music Group. They are an umbrella company. Okay, so Republic Records would be who she was signed with from a record label. And so when you think about an umbrella company, a good example would be how the American food system runs. So if you're international, you may know this, you may not, you definitely don't envy it, that's for sure. There are 10 companies that own a majority of the food that we purchase from grocery store shelves here in America, okay? So everything has its own brand and everything is produced and made in different areas. However, the owners of those companies are all rolled up into top brands. So some examples would be the fact that Kellogg's owns Pringles, right? There's been a big boycott about Kellogg's and the fact that the CEO of Kellogg's basically wanted to utilize the food cost increase and promote cereal for dinner. So that's to say that if you are going to boycott Kellogg's, you're not just going to avoid the cereal out, right? Because Kellogg's owns so much more than cereal. So General Mills is another big one that owns a ton of different stuff. You've got Mars, which Mars is like a candy brand, but they own a ton of stuff. Coca-Cola, not just soda. They own a lot of the things that you're going to see on the shelves. And so I say all that to say that the music industry is very similar. Okay. You've got these big conglomerate like umbrella companies that own all of these record labels. Okay. So when you think UMG, you likely think Taylor Swift. That's Taylor Swift's record label. That's Taylor Swift's company, right? It's not necessarily, right? She is part of one of those smaller brands. She is signed to Republic Records. She also mentioned Universal Music Publishing Group in the post when she re-signed, which again is not UMG. UMG owns those smaller brands, okay? And so what's important to note is that there is a difference between creation of music and distribution of music. Okay. So obviously the record labels, the things that we get to see on TV, or like I'm thinking like VH1 Behind the Music, you know, like all those things that, you know, have really shown like what it's like to produce music when you think in the studio, that is going to likely be tied to the label itself, the production company, right? But then you have distribution of music. So music has to get to its end user, right? So whether it is digitally through Apple Music, Spotify, or the various digital platforms, or whether it is going to be on shelves via a vinyl, CD, those things are part of the distribution of music. So let's take this from the perspective of an independent artist. So if I wanted to produce my own music in my own home studio and get that song on Spotify so that you could log into Spotify and listen to that song. As you probably know, as a user of Spotify, you don't really have like an upload option, right? It's not very user-friendly to be able to get your song up on the platform. And the reason is because there are royalties involved in streaming music. So not anyone can just go on and upload a song, right? You're going to be working with the distribution company. And sometimes those distribution companies are as simple as a software that you sign up for, you upload the file to the software, and then that software is able to stream directly through those platforms. And so behind the scenes with TSPN, we are doing just that. It's not music distribution, but it's very similar concept. So we've got a host platform where I go up and I upload all the podcasts. If I want to edit the description, edit the name, I go to one spot, right? And that is tied to all of the major podcast networks, okay? So whenever the artist wants to push their music to Spotify, Apple Music, and they're doing it through a software, that is counting as distribution. And the way that that company, that software company, would make money is that they would take a percentage of the royalty that the artist would make, or they would take like a monthly fee. Some of them do like subscription services at very small potatoes amounts. That totally works, right? When you get into these huge artists, you're talking about exchanging probably millions of dollars, right? Like any given month. So the distribution is not so simple. It's not like Taylor Swift is just going to log on to some software, upload her files, and like hope for the best, right? So they are going to be using distribution companies, right? And so these companies are going to ensure that the music that is produced is getting to the platforms that it's supposed to get to. And for huge artists and big labels, that is a huge undertaking. And even for some of the smaller labels that maybe have more smaller independent artists, are going to partner with distribution companies because not every single record label is going to have the resources to be able to adequately distribute their music in the way that a big company like UMG or even Republic Records can, right? And so for those independent brands, they are going to end up partnering with a company like UMG who would have the distribution capabilities. So for Taylor, while she is signed to a record label under UMG and her music is distributed under UMG, there are many artists where their music is produced independently, but it is still distributed through UMG. And this may sound familiar because most recently, TikTok and UMG went head to head over copyright issues. And so this kind of paints that picture, right? So just as much as Spotify owes UMG royalties that they pay out to their artists, and Apple Music would pay back to UMG that pays out to their artists, TikTok does as well, right? So whenever TikTok is using those sounds and all of that copyrighted material, UMG and or any distribution company, right? The artist is owed a tiny percentage of that. And so UMG could not agree with TikTok on what that percentage should be, which is why they pulled their work from TikTok, okay? And that is why so many artists, even ones that are not signed with UMG labels, were impacted. I saw many different videos, especially when it first happened, of independent artists that are like, look, I never signed a deal with UMG. I do not work with UMG. I am signed with an independent label, but my label uses UMG to distribute my music. And now UMG has decided that I can't be on TikTok. Well, they could physically be on TikTok, obviously. They could post a video, but they couldn't stream their music formally through TikTok, okay? So bringing this back to Scooter Braun and why he is in the news signing a deal with UMG. So Scooter owned Ithaca Holdings, which was part of the deal that bought out Big Machine Records in 2019. In 2020, he did sell off Taylor's catalog to Shamrock Holdings, but he still owned Big Machine Records and then, of course, Ithaca Holdings. And there's plenty of other things part of his little group of companies, okay? He sold Ithaca Holdings to a company called Hybe Corp in 2021. In exchange for selling Ithaca Holdings, he became the CEO of Hybe's North American brand. And so for context, Hybe is like UMG. They are kind of an umbrella company where there are several labels that kind of fold under them, okay? Several of those labels are in Korea. I think they've got a couple in Japan, just internationally sprinkled throughout. But they basically own the K-pop market, right? The Korean pop market. And one of their biggest artists is going to be BTS, which is one of the biggest groups in the world, like even outside of K-pop, you know, their influence and their size, record sales, everything. So Hybe is a very influential and big music company that wanted to expand into the American market. And through that, they obviously needed American management and American music influence. And so this deal with Ithaca is rumored to kind of be inspired by that. So just understanding that them getting into business with Scooter Braun was good for them because he had some of the biggest names under his management at the time. So he had Ariana Grande, Demi Lovato, Justin Bieber, many, many more. And so it is rumored when they bought Ithaca Holdings that the sale was for over $1 billion. Okay, so Scooter made bank in this sale. And of course, he became the CEO of the American leg of this company, and he has a seat on their board. So he is very, very influential with this company. And what's so interesting is obviously he's lost a lot of the talent that he was managing, right? You had Idina Menzel leaving early 2023, Ariana Grande, Demi Lovato. There was just kind of a slew of fallout that's kind of happened as of the last year. And so the fact that this deal was made with the understanding that Scooter would be able to influence and grow the American portion of this big music corporation is just interesting. I won't give any more context or, you know, my own opinion on that. But the deal that you saw in the news was that HYBE had signed for UMG to distribute their music. So let's imagine that Taylor is making candles with Company A and Scooter is making candles with Company B. If both companies ship their candles through the same U.S. Postal Service, that doesn't mean that their companies really influence each other or have anything to do with each other, right? Even if they buy their main ingredients from the same companies and they use the same techniques and they send them through the mail through, let's say, FedEx, right? I know we have international listeners, so I struggle sometimes to like give examples without being like too American here. But FedEx is one of the main shippers here in the United States. And so just because they're using the same shipper doesn't mean that they are any way influenced by one another. And so that's why I'm not too concerned whenever I read through this article and kind of understand what is happening. It sounds like UMG, which is a big old umbrella that also has Taylor's label, Taylor's publishing, and Taylor's distribution, is going to only have distribution over Scooter's label, which is owned by a different umbrella company. Okay. And so that's the one thing that's interesting, is that Taylor is signed to a company that has everything kind of in its same vertical and is big enough to be able to do all of the different steps, the production and the distribution of music, whereas a lot of other companies are going to be partnering to get to that distribution level. And unless we hear otherwise, right? I mean, Taylor can make a big statement at some point. I'm going to assume that it doesn't really impact her because Scooter doesn't really have a seat at like UMG's decision-making table that we're aware of. And so we all know now that I've said that and published it to a podcast that I will probably be wrong, but let's just assume the best and just assume that that actually has no impact. And I read the headline wrong, and I know a lot of people probably did too. It kind of sounded like UMG was going to be distributing through HYBE, which is the company that Scooter is the CEO for their North America branch, but it's inverse. It's that HYBE has their own record labels that they are going to use UMG to distribute through. So as long as that's the case, we can sleep at night. I don't think much more will come of this. It's so interesting how much this applies, though, to all the things that Jesse and I have been talking about with the sale of Taylor's music and just everything that's been going on. But ultimately, I think we're going to be okay. So as we wrap up for today, I did want to do something a little bit fun. I know Jesse and I have been doing the draft for the Tortured Poets song. So if you haven't caught that yet, we'll get it back to it next week. We'll just probably have to double up on a week of picking our team. But we are essentially going through the entire track list of Tortured Poets Department before it comes out. And we're one by one drafting our favorite songs. Well, what we assume to be our favorite songs. And then once the album gets released, we will have a voting available on our website where people could go after they've actually heard all of the songs and vote on which one either Jesse or I had the better team, which one of us had the better predictions. But for today, since it's just me, I still wanted to give you guys something a little fun. And I pulled together a couple Instagram accounts that I think are so great for Easter egg sleuthing, okay? And so while these are still up, they've both been up for a while, so it's not like they're going anywhere. But if you're listening to this podcast a year from now, who knows what could have happened? But they both provide such good info. So the first one took all of Taylor's posts before she went blackout during the Reputation era. So if you don't know, in 2017, when she went to announce the Reputation album, Taylor deleted everything from her Instagram. Every single thing. It's all gone. We don't have access to it. We don't know where it went. So somebody, a good God, who knows who this is, has a copy of everything, okay? And then reposted it in chronological order. And then in the captions, put the original caption that Taylor included and the original date. So you got to be careful if you're kind of Easter egg hunting to look out for the date, because obviously there's a post date for when this account posted it. And then you've got to probably expand the caption. A lot of times you got to click read more, but you'll want to make sure you're kind of looking at those dates. And so I've gone back to this account many, many times whenever I'm trying to look for eggs or clues, because you're going to get insight into what Taylor would have been posting, what she would have been doing, who she was with, all of that is pre-17 blackout is available to you. So the handle on Instagram is TaylorSwift_Insta13. So TaylorSwift_INSTA13. Okay. And when you get there, I don't know, the first like probably 6 to 8 photos are them just posting Taylor Love stuff. But you'll notice when you get to the point where it's actually Taylor's old posts. And from there, you can just scroll all the way back to when she would have started on Instagram. When we do Swiftie 101, I grabbed some of the stuff from this account to better understand the different rollouts of albums before Reputation and how she was using Instagram to announce those. So if you're an egg hunter, definitely make sure you're following this account and using it to help you paint the narrative. So the other account that I actually just found this week, and they have about 2,300 followers, so not huge yet. So definitely go follow them. But it's called T Swift Recall. So that's the handle, T Swift Recall. And they are posting on this day clips, or like they're like images of things that Taylor would have been doing. So like today is April 5th. So if you go to their account, it will be posting things that Taylor has done on April 5th of any given year. It's like pap walks or different things she would have posted. And they give the context and the year, because of course it could be any year. And if there's several things that were done on April 5th, they'll post several times. And so again, if you're looking for clues, Easter eggs, dates that Taylor might have done something significant that she'll draw back to in the future, it's a really fun account. And also it's got a lot of really great Taylor content that you don't usually see, because a lot of it's like old pap walks and stuff like that. So definitely go follow them. And while you're on Instagram, go ahead and follow the TS Pod Network page. So we are TS Pod Network on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, all of the different channels. That is our handle. So definitely go follow us on Instagram. And guys, we are just over 600 subscribers on YouTube. Our main goal is obviously 1,000. That's where we could start to do pre-roll ads and start to make some revenue for the podcast. So if you are a listener and you have not subscribed to our YouTube, please, please, please make sure you do. We are very proud of how far we've come in just 13 weeks, but it would be nice to get to our goal. So if you can help us out, and then make sure you're sharing the podcast with your friends. If you're on one of the major podcast networks, always think about the rating 5 stars, because the more that we can get 5-star ratings, the more likely Apple Music, Spotify, iHeartRadio podcasts, any of those different providers look at ratings as a way to indicate, are we somebody that they want to suggest to other listeners? So it helps us grow organically outside of those of you who have already found us. And guys, I know I've done a lot of talking and it's just been me today, and Jessie is at home with her pup. I did get an update during this episode that Hazel is home now. So she spent 2 nights in the ICU, or the little puppy emergency vet. I don't know why I called it ICU. I'm just going to be dramatic and call it that. Intensive care unit. But she is home. So this is really exciting, and hopefully she'll be on the up and up. So Jessie will be back with me next week, and we will continue on the masters. We've got to finish out the timeline. We also have lyrical analysis. So if this gives you any clue of what Swiftie 101 is going to be like, we've already started doing the research for debut and all of that, but we're not going to miss the details, guys. Like, we will spend whatever time we need making sure that we're getting it done, and not being like, oh, we're only going to do 10 episodes, one for each era. If it takes more than that, we're going to give it to you. So hang tight while we're doing Swiftie 101. And like I said, we'll get back to the masters next week. And you guys, I appreciate you listening when it's just me this week. And make sure to give us some love in the YouTube comments. Make sure to send Jessie and her pup Hazel some love. And we will catch you here next week. Love you guys. Bye.